Let me start with the Chronicle newspaper. GBA takes on judiciary over hearing of high-profile cases during vacation, and then benefits of local ownership. Daman Mine recruits 400 locals, barely 4 months into operations. All of that is on the front page of the Chronicle. And of course, the usual Bible quotation, this time from Matthew 5 verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works.
Now, the Daily Graphic has this scary story. Galamsey destroys 60% of rivers. Mm-hmm. Scientists raise alarm over implications. Poor court administration erodes public trust, Chief Justice. SNIT targets 2.8 million active members by 2028. And take your anti-HIV drugs religiously. Ghana AIDS commissioned. And adherence rates pegged at 57.6%. All on the front page of the Daily Graphic. Back page says Ghana cancer trend dreadful, treatment technology upgrade needed, and speakers call for quality seed system to transform yam sector.
The Ghanaian Times: lawyers cannot shun vacation. That is the Deputy Attorney General on the big debate and a controversy. And then Get Fund launches furniture appeal for schools. 100 million fund to drive agricultural transformation launched. And special courts not for political witch hunt. The Chief Justice again speaking on the front page of the Ghanaian Times.
The Business and Financial Times: Agric Education Fund Gafet targets 100 million cedis to deepen education. Zenith Bank's Group CEO receives Zikpan African Leadership Award. And trade grew nearly ninefold to $52.5 billion from 2004 to 2025, as exports drive record 148.3 billion Ghana Cedi surplus. Asantehene calls for wider tax mobilization. Rich and Gamanche praises myth over record financial performance.
Here's the news center. Mahama shakes up national security with new appointments. And then that story of 400 new jobs, airstrip, roads, takeoff, all of that. Also on the front page of the news center. Daman Chiefs youth hail Ibrahim Mohammed's early progress, according to the paper. SDA Church to rescue government abandoned Agenda 111 projects. And why U.S. prosecutors linked access for the 2 million fee to alleged bribes.
The Daily Guide for this morning: Edubuahine trial judge insists on legal vacation hearing. Sawyer committee got growth 82 registration date wrong, fourth estate. And Daman Mine fulfilling promises, 400 locals employed, airstrip roads underway, shake up at national security, AG opposes Wuntumi's bail pending appeal, and two arrested for killing man at Tuba. Okay, let's go online now.
MyJoyOnline.com. Private citizen drugs Chief Justice, Attorney General to Supreme Court over legal vacation. And why these two cases? Samuel Atanachia questions Chief Justice's expedited trial order. And then Ghana, Burkina Faso signed defense pact to secure cross-border trade corridors. Judiciary must win public confidence to protect democracy. Sidium Ketia speaking. Ghana's tomato ginger shortfalls deepen import bill, CSIR researchers say. And NPP accuses Chief Justice of partisan bias for vacation trial warrants.
So, citynewsroom.com, Ghana spends $168 million on tomato imports. Ginger dependence exceeds 99% CSIR. Mm. And, you know, as a farmer, once I saw this, I said to myself, why don't I get into ginger farming? Okay, there's an opportunity there.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's what says many of you should consider too. Court of Appeal to rule on AG stay application in Sadina Tamakru case today. Gold drives 63% of Ghana's exports. What does this mean for the economy? And ignore NPP's cheap propaganda. Assent to cocoa board bill, majority tells Mahama. GBA has no business in legal vacation dispute. That's according to Roxen Nelson Kwame Eche Dapia Mekpo. And substantive vacation hearings require lawyers' consent. Tia Yeboah. Mama, government has turned no fee stress into post stress. That's according to Miracles. Dennis Miracles Abuaje. And Miracles Abuaje outlines ambitious communications plan for NPP. And guess what? Ambrose Derry to contest Nandom seat again in 2028.
Interesting. We'll see how that one will go.
Let's get into the details.
Lawyers cannot shun vacation trials. That is the Deputy Attorney General speaking on the raging controversy over vacation courts. The Deputy Attorney General and Minister for Justice, Dr. Justice Shrem Sai, speaking in the Ghanaian Times, and he says, the Ghana Bar Association's position on criminal trials during illegal vacation is not supported by law. He said the decision to conduct proceedings during the annual legal vacation rested with the bench, and that lawyers could not unilaterally absent themselves from court during that period. Dr. Shrem Sai was responding to a petition signed by the president of the Ghana Bar Association, Mrs. Ifuagate, to the Chief Justice, arguing that vacation sitting should be restricted to urgent or interlocutory matters and that lawyers were not compelled to attend trials during the recess. There is no genuine or real controversy here. He said, the matter is simple. It's been the case that vacation courts are always sitting whenever there's legal vacation. No one can dispute that simple fact. And he dismissed the GBA's president's assertion that an established convention barred vacation court from conducting full trials as, quote, completely false and unsupported. And then you read it, the Deputy AG cites the others in the court rules and other authorities to make his point that it is the court's prerogative to decide when to sit or when not to sit. So that legal vacation brouhaha continue. But if you go on myjohnline.com, there's a related story because a private legal practitioner is actually suing to have the entirety of the legal vacation declared as unconstitutional. A private citizen, Elom Kwame Goni, has sued Attorney General Dominic Ayeni and Chief Justice Paul Bafoboni at the Supreme Court over Ghana's legal vacation arrangements. Mr. Goni is challenging the constitutionality of the annual suspension of sittings at the Supreme Court and the Court of Appeal and the High Court from August 1 to September 30. The suit, filed just on July 28, invokes the Supreme Court's original jurisdiction under Articles 2.1 and 131 of the 1992 Constitution. Mr. Goni argues that a two-month suspension undermines citizens' constitutional right to access justice within a reasonable time. And while High Courts continue to sit during a legal vacation through designated vacation courts, the plaintiffs say the Supreme Court and the Court of Appeal do not sit throughout the period, and he contends that this leaves litigants with pending matters before the two appellate courts waiting until the vacation ends.
Okay. Now, see how long ago. I mean, I've seen, you know, there's been lots of debates. At this point, we're going to get into it. But I'm looking at CI 47 or the 79, sittings, office hours at vacation. So, Rouen says, subject to the Courts Act 1993, Act 459 as amended, the Chief Justice may appoint any day, including vacations, for the hearing of causes or matters as circumstances require. The sittings of the court shall be for such hours as the Chief Justice shall direct. But Rule 4 says, subject to Rule 1, the following periods shall be observed in the High Court as vacations. Mm. The period commencing on the Tuesday immediately following Easter Monday in each year and ending on the Friday immediately following. The period commencing on 1st August in each year and ending on the 30th of September in the year, and the period commencing on 23rd December in each year and ending on 6th January in the next year. Now, what I'm interested in is subject to Rule 1.
Rule 1. So it's subject to the Chief Justice's power to designate courts to sit during the vacation. I think the big controversy really is whether or not substantive trials should happen, because I think lawyers on both sides of this debate do not dispute that the Chief Justice can designate courts to sit even through legal vacation as the circumstances may require, as the drafters used in the rules. However, what people have said is that it is not usual for trials to happen. And if trials must happen, it must happen with the consent of the lawyers. And if any lawyer who's a party to the action, really not a party, but representing a party to the action, really clearly says that he is on vacation or has other commitments and cannot sit, the court should oblige them and not hold the trials. And so that is the big debate on both sides as to whether or not that should happen or not. And it's interesting. And now someone has gone to the Supreme Court to have this. I don't think there's a constitutional interpretation matter there or an enforcement action there. But we'll see what the Supreme Court
Let's see. Let's get to the Daily Guide, okay? Now, AG opposes won't miss bail pending appeal. And that's a story you're very much aware of. The fact that the Attorney General, the Office of the Attorney General has opposed an application seeking bail for jailed Ashanti Regional Chairman of the NPP, Bernard Ntribue Siako, pending an appeal against his conviction and 20-year jail term for mining-related offenses. An affidavit in opposition filed by the office averse that the application for bail pending appeal filed by the lawyers discloses no reasonable chances of the appeal succeeding. It also contends that Chairman Wintumi, having been convicted, jailed, and standing trial in other matters, poses a significant flight risk if granted bail by the court.
Let me do this with quick one, because Mahama has done some shake-up at the national security, and President John Dramani Mahama has approved major shake-up at the National Security Council Secretariat, with former Chief of Army Staff, Major General retired William Ayamdo, appointed Deputy National Security Coordinator in charge of operations. The changes announced by the President in a statement yesterday form part of a broader reorganization of the National Security Council Secretariat. Major General retired Ayamdo's appointment places him in a key operational role, and then there are others. National Security, former National Security Coordinator Yao Donko has also been reassigned to the Office of the National Security Advisor, where he will serve as Director of Intelligence and Research. And then there will be Adam Saka, appointed Director of Logistics and Transport. Faustina Fabwedi has been appointed Officer in Charge of the Human Security Department, while retired DCOP Peter Indekugri has been named Officer in Charge of the Special Investigations Unit. So a lot of changes to the National Security, with Mahama making some changes to his government.
Okay, well, we'll see what will happen in the coming days. Would that be the end of changes? I still expect, a major reshuffle.
Because what happened last week, there was not
major. Oh, no, there'll be a major one. Now, page 3, Daman mine fulfilling promises. 400 locals employed, airstrip roads underway. So, story by Ibano Lopoku says, 4 months after Daman gold mine transitioned to indigenous Ghanaian ownership, chiefs and residents of Daman in the Prestiahuni Valley municipality of the Western region are seeing the first signs that promises made during the handing over ceremony are being kept. The chiefs and people of Daman have commended the management of Daman Gold Mine Limited for early progress on employment, infrastructure, and community engagement since the mine moved from Goldfields Daman Mine to Daman Gold Mine Limited on April 18, 2026. Now, speaking at a press conference, the chief of the Bosumtwi Divisional Council, Nana Kwabna Amponsa IV, said the early implementation of commitments by Daman Gold Mine Limited under CEO Ibrahim Mahama has given the community grounds for cautious optimism. And the story says nearly 400 local jobs in 4 months. Okay, the most visible impact so far has been in employment. According to the data shared with the community, nearly 400 people, predominantly from the Daman Gold Mine catchment communities, have entered various stages of recruitment within the first 4 months. Of that, 180 candidates have already been engaged and are working. Another 135 have been selected for various positions. Now, that's good. And, you know, for many of us who support local participation in mining, this is a good story, because we've always maintained that Ghanaians must participate in the mining of their resources. You've asked the question consistently, why is Obuasi not like Johannesburg? That's the answer there for you. So let's get into the conversation now. Victor Yawakugo, who is Chief Revenue Officer, Domestic Tax Revenue Division, Millicent Akwe Agbevade, who's Principal Revenue Officer, Communication and Public Affairs Department at the Ghana Revenue Authority. So let's start with an understanding of the modified taxation scheme. What is it?
Yeah, thank you very much, Winston. So the Ghana Revenue Authority has been implementing a number of tax policy initiatives to boost its domestic revenue mobilization, and the modified taxation is one of them. So basically, the modified taxation, MTS, is a simplified and a flexible way of taxing individual businesses or individuals who own businesses within the informal sector. The emphasis here is the business income of individuals are being taxed for modified taxation. So when you find yourself within the informal sector and you are into businesses such as hairdressing, barbering, tailoring, or general artisans professions such as carpentry, masons, tiling, you are within the modified taxation scope. So when we talk about modified taxation, it's basically about taxing the business income of individuals who find themselves in the informal sector.
So why is this scheme necessary? Why did DRA decide to introduce the modified taxation scheme?
So basically, the modified taxation scheme has been introduced to broaden the tax base of broaden the tax base to rope in businesses within the informal sector. so that they can equally contribute their little quota to support government socio-economic development. Additionally, its modified taxation has also been introduced to encourage voluntary compliance. As you all know, most people view taxation to be difficult, but MTS have been simplified so that compliance can be improved. And invariably, revenue mobilization can also be increased. So basically, MTS was introduced to broaden the tax base so that we'll all be able to contribute our little quota to support national development.
Great. I like the fact that it's been introduced to help all of us contribute a little quota to support national development. But you know, whenever there's the introduction of a scheme, the fear is that, okay, this is a nice way of introducing a new tax. Is the modified taxation scheme a new tax?
Not at all. The modified taxation scheme is not a new tax. It is just a method for accounting for personal income tax for individuals who are residents in Ghana and are doing their own business, and the income that they generate is directly from the business they are doing. So it's just a method of accounting for personal income tax. Thank you.
Good. So when you started, let me bring you in, Victor. When you started, you talked about, you know, for persons within the informal sector, who qualifies to register for the modified taxation scheme?
Yeah, thank you very much. When you talk about the modified taxation scheme, like my sister mentioned, we are emphasizing business income of resident individuals. So to qualify to be part of the modified taxation, you must be a resident of Ghana and must also earn business income. You must not be registered for VAT. So if you are a resident of Ghana and you are earning business income and the source of your income is from Ghana, you need to register for modified taxation, especially if you are operating within the informal sector and you are not supposed to register for VAT. It means that your turnover should not be more than 750,000 Ghana cedis per annum.
Okay, good to know. And so you've talked about the fact that your turnover should not be more than 750,000. But beyond that, who else is excluded from the modified taxation scheme?
Okay, thank you very much. If you are a professional, an engineer, accountant, lawyer, you are not part of the modified taxation scheme because you are regulated and you can keep records. Two, if you decide to opt out from the modified taxation scheme, the law allows you to opt out. If you have multiple businesses, you are not supposed to be part of the modified taxation scheme. And in addition to that, if you have more than one outlet, then you should not be part of the modified taxation scheme. So basically, this category of persons are excluded from the modified taxation scheme: a professional, a lawyer, accountant, and also persons whose income are from multiple sources, and also persons whose income are from different outlets, and those who have opted to be out of the modified taxation scheme. Thank you.
So in that case, what are the categories under the modified taxation scheme?
Okay, thank you very much. We have three categories under the modified taxation scheme. We have the presumptive tax based on installment. We have the presumptive by turnover. And we also have the modified cash basis. The presumptive by installment are those taxpayers or individuals whose business income is up to 20,000 Ghana cedis per annum, and they pay a fixed amount as tax for the year. The fixed amount they pay is 45 Ghana cedis a quarter. Those selling on tabletop and those selling in small shops. So they are those that pay by installment. So we call them presumptive tax by installment. The second category is the presumptive tax by turnover. This category of taxpayers are persons whose turnover are more than 20,000 Ghana cedis, but not exceeding 750,000 Ghana cedis for the year.
Okay.
They pay 3% of their turnover as tax for the whole year because they cannot keep records, because they are not regulated. Oh. We say every sales, every turnover they earn, 3% of it must be the tax they pay for the whole year. And the last category is the modified cash basis. This category claim they have knowledge about how to keep limited records, and therefore they want to be considered for their expenses that they incur.
Okay.
So standard rules of assessment of tax is applied on them. So we say that we determine their assessable income, we allow them expenses that they incur in running the business and arrive at their chargeable income, and then we apply a graduated rate to the chargeable income. The graduated rate, the highest rate is 35% and the smallest rate is 5%.
Mm.
So the modified cash will give you the opportunity to have access to expenses you incurred in running the business, but you pay tax based on a graduated rate. The higher the income that you earn, the higher you pay as tax. Thank you.
Great. Millicent, let me say that this morning we've been joined by Victor Yawakugu, who is Chief Revenue Officer, Domestic Tax Revenue Division, and Millicent Akwiagbevade, who is Principal Revenue Officer, Communication and Public Affairs Department of the Ghana Revenue Authority. They're telling us more about the modified taxation scheme. So what are the obligations, Millicent, of the modified taxation scheme taxpayers?
Okay, so their obligations are simple. One, they are supposed to register, they are supposed to file, and they are also supposed to pay the taxes that they file. When it comes to registration, we have an MTS portal that taxpayers can upload on their phones or machines and then register and go through the process. We have our officers who are also on the field during compliance visits. They also register individuals that they are able to identify in the market at the lorry stations onto the scheme. Mm. We also, taxpayers can equally walk to any GRA office and then they'll be attended to when it comes to registration. We also partner with identifiable trade associations. So, okay, for instance, I made mention that the hairdressers, tailors are equally captured under the modified taxation. These people are within an umbrella group. We can talk about the Ghana National Tailors and Dressmakers Association.
Mm-hmm.
They can approach the GRA and bring their members on board so that we can register them in bulk. So these are some of the avenues that taxpayers can explore when it comes to the registration under MTS.
And talking about the registration, let's get into it. It's very important. So first of all, how do I register and what documents do I need if I want to register?
Yeah, they are very simple. First and foremost, you need your Ghana card because that is the unique identifier for every individual within Ghana. You also need a mobile number that we use to be able to register you under MTS.
Okay.
We also require your locational address, a GPS address for that matter. And then also some records. We know taxpayers under MTS that do not keep accurate records, but we believe at least you have some daily sales record that you can provide to the GRA officers. Those are the documents that we will require. And then the registration of your business, if those documents are also available, we'll also like to have them to enable us register you for MTS.
Okay. And these taxes you talk about earlier, Victor, you're trying to tell us, you know, if you are the three categories under it. So how are the taxes paid? Let's say I want to pay. I mean, let's practicalize it, okay? Let's say, okay, I've gone with my phone, I've gone with my Ghana card, I've gone with my Ghana Post GPS, and I've registered now. I need to pay. How can the payment be made?
Thank you very much. The payment aspect is the very important aspect for the Ghana Revenue Authority, because after all the talking and money doesn't come, we've not done our work. The target is to achieve the revenue. So we are saying that a simplified payment regime has been created using a short code to do the payment. We have two short codes. One, we have the *880#.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can try it on your phone. You dial *880#. You select item 4, which talks about modified taxation scheme.
Hold on. Okay. I have started. Welcome to GRAU SSD.
Very good.
1, check compliance.
Check compliance.
2, verify TCC.
Very good.
3, VIT.
Very good.
4, MTS.
Fantastic. So the MTS aspect is the fourth one that we want you to click on. So you click on the number 4, MTS. So you click on that.
MTS 1, pay.
Pay. So now you are ready to pay and GRA is ready to receive the money. So click on pay.
When you click on pay, it says enter Ghana card number.
Very good. Like my sister said, the unique identifier that we use in making payment is the Ghana card. So you key in your Ghana card. Because you are an employee and your PAYE is deducted at the end of the month, we don't want you to key in your Ghana card number now. Other than that, it gives you the opportunity to pay. But because you have a lot of money, being a presenter and a moderator, we are also saying that you can try it. Then you pay 5 Ghana cedis to GRA or 50 Ghana cedis to GRA. And let's see what the response will be.
Let me look for my Ghana card number. To be very honest, I don't have it in mind. So,
okay.
Let me just try and get my Ghana card. And once I get the Ghana card, I'm trying to get the Ghana card number. Okay. Let me just fetch my Ghana card number. I'm sure once I get my Ghana card number, I'll be able to get it. And once I get it, I will try.
Yes. So it's an opportunity that is available for you at any point in time to give it a try. The other short code that we also have is the *222#. The *222#. That is the platform that we use to make tax payment, and all government revenues passes through that short code, the *222#. In addition to that, you can make payment at the bank. GRA has 23 commercial banks that are available to receive every tax payment that you want to pay. And we encourage people as much as possible to either go to the bank or use our short code to make the payment. We also have the modified taxation scheme app, mobile payment app that you can also download and use to make payment. You can do this payment at the comfort of your home, or you can ask one of your children to assist you to do the payment. GRA has gone cashless, and for that matter, we don't receive cash from the office, but officers can assist you to make the payment. The payment is what we are looking for, and we want everybody to be given the opportunity to contribute towards national development. It is very, very important. Thank you.
Thank you. I mean, I like the fact that you want all of us to contribute. Anything you want to add, Millicent?
Yeah, so basically what I want to say is that the modified taxation scheme is not a new tax. It is just a simplified method for accounting for personal income tax, specifically for businesses who find themselves within the informal sector. So we are using this platform to encourage all individuals who are doing one business or the other to take advantage of this policy so that they'll be able to contribute their little quota to support government socio-economic development.
I also want to add that we are having an opportunity to discuss more about the modified taxation. On the 19th to 21st of August, the Chartered Institute of Taxation Ghana is holding its annual tax conference, of which modified taxation will be an item for discussion. Because 80% of the active workforce in Ghana are in the informal sector, we want more people to understand the need to contribute to the development of the country. So please, we use your platform to send this message across to your cherished listeners that they should come to ALISA from 19th to 21st for this, annual task conference, which starts from the morning, 10 a.m. And they will come to appreciate Her Excellency the Vice President Nana Jane Opoku Ajuman is the one who will be our special guest, and we encourage more people to come to the program and participate in the discussion. Ask your questions under the program, then you will get solutions to them. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So when I entered, it says my Ghana card says yes. Ghana card number is not a registered. It's not registered. What would you like to do?
Perfect. So it means that your Ghana card has not been assigned to any of our tax offices. Mm-hmm. So we need to assign your number to our tax office so that when you make the payment, it goes to the tax office. Okay. We can do that for you behind the scene.
Exactly. We'll do that behind the scenes. But thank you very, very much. But finally, before you go, will the modified taxation scheme taxpayers also file their returns?
Yes, they'll be given the opportunity to file returns. Taxation is based on fairness. Mm-hmm. So in the initial stages, we ask for your estimated daily sales. At the end of the year, you are given opportunity 4 months after the end of the year for you to file your return. Return here means that you tell us your actual sales that you made, and we determine whether you are paying the fair tax or not. If you made more income than you estimated, then the 3% that you'll be paying will be based on your actual sales. So if you paid less from the beginning, the difference that comes as a result of the declaration of your actual sales, you pay the difference in addition. But if also your actual sales shows a less income that you made, then it means that you have overpaid your tax, and a refund can also be given to you, or your ledger can be credited. So there is the need for you to file return for us to determine your actual sales, or and also determine the fair tax that you need to pay. Thank you.
Great. But before we go, there's a question for you. Because I realize some people are actually, so this says, Winston, please ask them also, on the new directives on income tax that they're about rolling out, tell them workers what won't pay anything again. Intia, hey, offer some. Maybe you can talk briefly about it if you want.
Yes. I can say that workers are paying tax, and workers are overburdened because they are in the formal sector. Their taxes are taken from their salary and paid to the GRA. But those in the informal sector, those individuals who are resident of the country and earning business income but are not paying anything, they are the target group. And like my sister said, it is not a new tax. It is part of your personal income tax. Every individual in the country must make a contribution towards the development of the state. If you alone earn an income in doing business and enjoy a loan, you don't get the full fulfillment of the income you are enjoying. There is the need for you to contribute, to part away with some for the development of the state, for social development, for road construction, for free SHS, for payment of security workers, for protection for ourselves. So these are some of the uses upon which we put the tax revenue to.
Okay.
Thank you.
Keke Noyarefa says, Winston, can I pay my taxes for some informal businesses without actually registering a company or sole proprietorship?
Yes, you can pay a tax based on the fact that you have earned an income. So if you earn an income, you have to pay tax on that. But paying tax for somebody, yes, the law allows it. Then it means that you have to get the Ghana card of that person and use to pay for the person that you are paying for, because probably he's your relative. That is why you are paying the tax for him. Thank you.
And there are lots of questions that are right coming now. this morning. So this one says, please ask for me. A government worker who runs a business, must I pay for the business too?
Yes. So there are three sources through which income is earned. One is from employment. So by virtue of the fact that you are doing employment, employment taxation has its own rules. And business taxation also has its own rules. And businesses, limited liability company, they pay 25% of their profit as tax. But because individuals who are self-employed and they are resident of the country operating in the informal sector, we are saying that we are introducing a flexible taxing regime for them.
Okay.
They should pay 3% of their sales or their turnover. And that forms the basis of their tax for the whole year. A flexible, convenient, easy, and simplified method of paying tax. There are some people also who have rented their premises and they are earning income. That is also an investment income that is coming to them.
Okay.
And those investment income is also subject to tax. So if you earn employment income, business income, and investment income, the law allows you to pay tax on the income you are earning. Thank you.
Thank you. Finally, the census, please ask the GRE man why restaurants and club and others charge service charge as high as 10%.
Ideally, restaurants are providing services, okay, for you. One, they need to charge VAT for the services that they are providing.
Mm.
And the VAT is the consumer who is paying for the VAT. And the law says that the VAT ought to be paid at 15%. Mm. But because of the Get Fund levy and the NHL levy,
mm-hmm.
which is an earmark, I mean, account upon which these monies go into, we put all together for purpose of VAT on the hotel services that the person enjoys, he pays 20%. So if he's paying 10% for the services, then it means that, I mean, he's paying less than what he's expected to pay. Ideally, we have two categories of taxes. We have the direct taxes and we have the indirect taxes. The indirect taxes are the VAT aspect, and the direct one is the personal income tax or the corporate income tax that comes to you as a result of profit. Let us know our taxes. Let's pay our taxes and let's help build a better Ghana. Thank you.
Thank you. Indeed. Let's know our taxes. Let's pay our taxes and let's help build a better Ghana. Let me just add that I was at the launch of the modified taxation scheme. I emceed that program. And the song for the campaign, Nasi,
yeah.
Ghananti,
yeah.
Because of Ghana.
Perfect.
Let's pay our taxes. You see, the feeling you have when you've paid your taxes, you can then demand
accountability.
And then the development, okay? So please, if you are in the informal sector, go and register. It's very simple. Thank you very much, Millicent Akwe Agbavade, who is Principal Revenue Officer, Communications and Public Affairs Department, and Victor Yawakogo, who is Chief Revenue Officer of the Domestic Tax Revenue Division.